Everybody ready to go? Okay, I'd like to call to order the Tuesday, November the 27th special meeting of the Atascadero City Council, also known as the successor agency. And could we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
And Mayor Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. And could I have a motion to approve the agenda, please?
Move approval of agenda.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay, thank you. This portion of the meeting is for community forum. Is there anybody in the public that would like to speak this evening? Your time would be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one approach the podium, I'll close the community forum and bring it back for management reports. And Rochelle, is that going to be you tonight?
That is. Thank you. The item you have before you tonight is the due diligence report prepared by the county. Actually, I guess it's an agreed upon procedures report. This is a result of the original RDA dissolution legislation, AB1X26, that was adopted in June of 2011. And AB1X26, and we'll be bringing to you the other funds. But this was kind of the precursor to that and was still required after that. It is completed by the SLO County Auditor Controller's Office, and it's going to be forwarded to the state on December 1st, 2012. The work was done between May and November of 2012. They came out and did all the field work in November, went back, crunched some numbers in between all of their other duties, and we completed everything this November. As we've been talking about for months now, the legislation for the dissolution of RDAs is complex. It's conflicting a lot of the times. It's retroactive, where something was legal when we did it, and then 6 months later, the state declared that, no, you can't do that. And there's still a lot of laws and interpretation and lawsuits and other things going on regarding that. And this report is kind of somewhat a reflection of that. The city, as a successor agency, has always strived to maintain best practices, due diligence, compliance. We work with the city attorney very closely on interpreting everything as we're trying to prepare these documents and try and follow what DOF is requesting. DOF often changes their mind on what they want and what they see, and it's often hard to do that. I'm going to just briefly go over some of the findings in the report. You're going to find that there are lots and lots of findings in the report. That's to be expected. A lot of the procedures that the county auditors were required to do was take our estimates that were prepared in August 2011 and trace them back, you know, in May and say, okay, were there actually expenditures there? What is our estimates today? Obviously, as you estimate something, it's going to be different. There's basically, I found four categories of findings. The major one was the city and agency loans. As we know, there were several city agency loans where the city loaned the agency funds back in early 2000, 2002, when we were starting up and before we issued bonds. AB1X26 declared some of those loans as invalid. And AB 1484 now has changed that, and now they're valid, but after you get a certificate of completion and some other things. So that area of law is still changing. So they continue to be on our ROPs and EOPs. They continue to be challenged by the state, but that's why those are on there. As I said, there's a lot of differences between estimates and actuals. So like if you look at page 9 of the report or page 15 of your agenda package, and you'll see, you know, there's a whole page full of findings. If you look at, let's say, item 12, it said management estimated an obligation of $95,520 for property tax administration services listed on the initial EOP. So in August of 2011, I estimated that we'd have to pay $95,520 in property tax administration for the year. In April of 2012, the county actually billed us, and it was only $82,894. So that would be a finding because it wasn't the amount didn't match my estimate that I made 8 months before. Those aren't necessarily something concerning because that all washes out through the ROPS 3 where I have to say, this is what I estimated. This was what was actually paid. This is what's left over. Other types of things that the county would have to report on, if you look at the next line down, it says, the outstanding obligation of $12,105 listed on the initial EOPS agrees to underlining contract. However, we did not determine if payments had been made on the contract prior to 2011. The reason they didn't do that is because that wasn't part of their agreed upon procedures. But they still have to tell people, we didn't go back and do that. So you'll see lots of findings of these types. They really don't have a huge financial effect on the successor agency or the redevelopment agency, but they are a discrepancy and under the agreed upon procedures had to be reported on. I'm actually going to turn it over to Jim Erb. He's with the County Auditor Controller's Office, and Carrie Barry Lee is the one sitting there right next to him, along with Jerry Seabach, and have them go through the report for you.
Is his mic on?
A little button on, no, right below the mic.
There you go.
There we go. Okay. My name is Jim Erb. I'm the Assistant Auditor Controller. And Rochelle gave you a pretty good summary of this report, and just listening to her talk about it, it indicates the confusion that has been going on with this legislative change that the state has made in dissolving these RDAs. Our goal in this first round of this agreed-upon procedures was, as Rochelle said, we are of concern, and these items were items that the state or the Department of Finance said were enforceable, and based on the criteria that we looked at, we determined they were not enforceable. The legislation says that they have to be developed or they have to be entered into these agreements within 2 years of when the RDA was created. Now, the RDA was created in 1986, I believe, but actually the project areas weren't determined until 1999. And based on that, we think that that is probably why the state allowed these to be enforceable obligations when we didn't think that they were. Now, we've seen the state come back and look at these again and make changes, and that could certainly happen, although I think Rochelle is probably working with the state and trying to work these out. All the other items that are listed in here in our findings, the Department of Finance agreed with us, and I think Rochelle and the City of Atascadero agrees with us as well. So I do want to say that this whole process has been really confusing. They put out this ABX 126 that stated certain rules, developed these agreed-upon procedures, and then later came out with AB 1484, which kind of redefined some of the rules, left some more vagueness, and we've all been trying to work through it. A second audit is now being done, the due diligence audit that I believe is being performed by your outside auditors that will go into even more detail than we've gone in here to. Rochelle is one of the people that we rely on in understanding this legislative changes. Our property tax manager, Barbara Godwin, is probably the expert in the county on property tax allocation. And she claims Rochelle is, what was the word she used, fabulous to work with. That Rochelle really has an understanding of the legislative changes, and Barbara runs things by her, and they talk often to try to work through the confusing parts of these legislative changes that have come about. And we appreciate Rochelle working with us and the information that she's provided us so we could get through this audit. You can see by the audit itself, if you read the whole report, it's confusing, it's detailed, and there was a lot of information that was required by the City of Atascadero, and we appreciate your help with that. Do you have any questions about the report or next steps?
Yes, just for clarification, in looking at numbers 3 and then 5 through 8, at the very end of each one of those sentences says that the Department of Finance considered this obligation unenforceable.
Some projects, the production of affordable housing projects, and those are considered unenforceable. We have been putting them in their ROPS because they are something that is subject to legal challenge. However, we transferred those funds, the remaining unspent funds, back to the agency, and those funds have been distributed to the taxing agency. So although they're listed as unenforceable, that doesn't mean that the successor agency or the city has to pay those funds back. They already have transferred those funds back for the most part. Yeah, there are some slight differences. In addition, the city has listed all of the underlying obligations that the city entered into during that period under these contracts, and the Department of Finance has been reviewing those too.
Thank you.
Thank you. I had a question regarding items 1 and 2. It would be City Loan 1 and City Loan 2. When
yes.
I looked at page 8, there was a discrepancy in the amount owed. It was on Loan 1, it was $33,295 greater than the amount allowed, and also there was $26,000 discrepancy on Loan 2. I'm not sure that I understand how a loan would have a discrepancy. Usually that's fairly straightforward, unlike the projections.
Right, and I think it was timing differences from when the ROPS was developed and when we actually performed the audits. There had been payments made that hadn't been reduced from the ROPS, and we did reduce them for our audit.
So in other words, that amount isn't owing in addition?
No,
or
no, it was really just
in some way.
Right, it was really just a timing difference.
Got it. Thank you.
Well, I guess one of my questions is, when the smoke clears and it's all cleared up, the money that the city has loaned the redevelopment agent is the last thing that's paid back. Is that right?
That is my understanding under 1484, is that that allows a procedure for the city to get paid back by the agency, but there's very specific milestones that the successor agency has to meet. We have to get a certificate of completion. It does adjust the interest rates on those. Those loans do have to be approved by the oversight board. And then any remaining funds from distribution can be, or half of those can be put towards those loans. So they will get paid back. It's just going to be a very long time.
Right. And you're not estimating that we're going to get hit really hard when this, you know, is all?
I do not estimate that at all. I assume that we will be contacted by the state. The issues on the summary pages are issues that, you know, DOF's already aware of. There are issues that we have already taken care of by transferring funds back and the loans, which, you know, is across the state. There is one, I think, for $2,670, which we may have to pay back. That was a check that we wrote on July 1st, 2011, before we even knew the legislation had passed for CRA dues.
And quite a compliment to be called fabulous, okay?
But Rochelle's right. The loan repayment, or the repayment, it will be a slow process because it's based on the tax increment after the pass-throughs are taken out. And it looks like right now that tax increment is about $765,000 every 6 months. Is that correct? Yeah, somewhere in there. So then that is what's distributed to the outstanding obligations.
Thank you.
No other questions?
Okay.
Fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll open it up for a public comment. Anyone like to make a public comment?
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. My name is David Bentz, and I live in 3F Meadows. A little side note, there is a legal firm that is mounted a few challenges to what the state is attempting to do. That's Rattan and Tucker. And I'm very familiar with Rattan and Tucker, and I would advise this city to ride on his coattails to see if they can't get some of the same results that Rattan and Tucker will get as a result of their lawsuits. Thank you.
Fine, thank you. Seeing no other person approach the podium, I'll close the public comment. And I think before we file this, I think, Mr. Seebeck, you're getting ready to retire, and I think Tom's known you for a long time and would like to say something here.
Well, I certainly did enjoy going to Mr. Seebeck's retirement. Not only has Mr. Erb done a good job second in command down there helping with the department, he did a pretty good job of throwing a party for you. I hope you would share some of your parting wisdom. We certainly have appreciated your years of service to the county and being an Atascadero resident. We really appreciate your efforts in our community. Please acknowledge the auditor you have along with you that I believe actually worked on this project, too. We have also in our audience.
How do you hit the green button? Or
I think you're on.
I'm on? Okay. Tom, I was glad that you could come to my retirement party. It was pretty safe and sober, so I want you all to know that. We had a good time and a pretty good turnout. It's been a good career for me. I've been proud of what we've accomplished in the county auditor's office. It has respect from a lot of people. And one of the things that we do, that we place a lot of importance on, is working with the cities, the schools, and the special districts, and that we are their kind of their agent in the property tax area, that all the property taxes come in to the treasury, and we're the ones that are required to distribute it properly. And so we've been audited every year, or not every year, about every 5 years from the state controller, and we've never had anything except compliments from them. And we've never had any lawsuits between cities and the county. Even the RDAs in the county, which in other places have been extremely, difficult dealings, and including lawsuits. We haven't had that in this county. So we have enjoyed working with Rochelle and your city administration over the years. And I did always have a soft spot for my hometown. Although not a lot that I could do for you, because we follow the law. And that's what my staff has been doing here. Carrie Bailey is the one you're talking about, is our internal audit chief, and she has worked very hard on this. It wasn't anything that any of us asked for. The counties didn't ask for the RDA dissolution, and certainly the county auditors never asked to be saddled with massive tasks, onerous tasks in many ways, but we've tried to keep all of the cities informed as we went along as much as possible, and Rochelle has been one that we've stayed in close contact with. We have appreciated her over the years, and so I wish that it wasn't what it is. I know the city had big plans for what to do with that RDA money over the future, and that's pretty much down the drain. But look what you got. You got I couldn't find a place to park in this whole shopping center. It used to be a vacant lot, as those of us know, or it was a different thing. So there are some good things that are happening with the city of Atascadero, and we wish you well. And thank you for the recognition, Tom. He's been a good friend since high school, and also Roberta back in high school. So thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, and best to you in your retirement. I think with that, I'll bring it back to the city council. I guess we just file this and accept it and file it. We don't need a motion or anything like that. Fine. Do we have any board announcements or reports? Seeing none, I'll adjourn this special meeting of the successor committee, and I guess at 5:30, do we need to reconvene, or can we just go into the next one?
Since the agenda says 5:30, I think you're going to have to resume your seat at 5:30,
okay.
Ask for public comment on the closed session item, and then adjourn to closed session.
Okay, fine. Fine. We'll adjourn and be back in 7 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah, I must have been on real.
We had that.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate you coming out. It was so much fun doing it. You love those things with no rules. Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. If you'll please take your seats, we'll reconvene the City Council meeting. And if you would please take your cell phones and turn them off or turn to vibration, I would appreciate that. I just got a new one the other day. I don't know where it's at, so I may be the violator tonight. But I've tried my best. Don't even know how to turn it off. I'd like to reconvene the City Council meeting. We just came out of closed session. The City Attorney, do we have anything to report?
No, there's nothing to report.
Fine, thank you. And I'll call the regular City Council meeting to order. And Councilman O'Malley, would you please lead us with the Pledge of Allegiance?
Thank you. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Here.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Here.
Mayor Kelly?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. And this evening we have a couple presentations, and I think, Jim, you would like to make a presentation here?
Thank you, Mayor and members of Council. I'd like the technology team to come on up, if you could, and join me at the lectern. So joining me here, we have Ken Phillips is our system administrator here at the city. And Ken is in charge of all of our servers, information, connections to the world, just making sure network traffic passes between here and anywhere in the world. We send an email or a file and making sure those files are safe and virus-free and secure. And he does a great job of that. Next to him is David Anastasia. He handles pretty much anything that is not a server that flashes with lights, phones, computers, printers, monitors, our backup of all of our data day in and day out, our phone system, and just really works incredibly hard for us. Next to him is Jonathan Woolery. He's a student at Cal Poly. We call him an intern, but he's a full member of our team and has really filled in doing our day-to-day support and working with our databases and new technologies. And Luke Knight next to him is our GIS analyst and database manager. Luke runs our whole GIS program, which many of you are familiar with, and he also manages the databases, whether it be our accounting software, our building permit software, et cetera. Tonight I wanted to have these four gentlemen recognized in front of you. They don't get seen much. You know, as long as our emails get opened and our files are saved and when things work the way we think they should work, and believe me, that doesn't always happen. These four guys are here to give their best customer service to our customers as citizens and at City Hall. And so they decided to see how good they were and submitted for an award to the Municipal Information Systems Association of California. The award is Achievement in Information Technology Practices. And this is the leading association in California for public agencies, technology managers. And they were granted the award. We received it this year. The award is recognizes cities who exceed standards in areas of budget and strategic planning, purchasing, operations and staffing, customer satisfaction, internet, project management, professional development, training, disaster preparedness, recovery, security, and level of service. And we did receive good marks in all of those areas, and I wanted these four gentlemen to be recognized for the hard work they do day in and day out for the employees and citizens of Atascadero. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, guys.
So I think the mayor would like to present you with the award, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, we have an award for you guys tonight, and you guys do an incredible job. I think I was on the city council for about 6 months, and I got enough nerve to open up a door that nobody had ever shown me up there, and I saw all these blinking lights and boxes and cables and stuff and these four guys, and, you know, what goes on in here? And I still haven't been able to understand it all, but I know we all utilize it throughout the city. It's a very, very efficient system. I can't ever recall when it was down and we weren't working. All of us have problems with technology on the city council. Right. And you guys have really been a helping hand to us, and we really appreciate the work. I think we're right up there with everybody else, and that's how we stay ahead of the game here. And you're probably a real important part of why Atascadero is so successful and we're a good city. And we all just want to thank you very much and award you with this. Great.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
o'clock.
Thank you.
Whoop, we need a picture here.
Turn around, get your picture there.
Heather will get us staggered.
Got to hit center.
Yeah. Tell us what you want, Heather.
Press delete.
Come on, sit down and get your picture. All
right.
They see us all the time. Let me see.
See what I mean?
One, two, three.
Okay.
Thank you. You're okay.
Great. Thank you. Jim, I think we want to thank you, too, because I know that's one of your responsibilities here in the city, and I know you helped these guys make it happen, so we want to thank you, too. Next on the agenda is a special presentation that I'm very happy to say that we were able to put it on the agenda tonight. We have a little problem that has come upon town in the school district here in town with DJ Pittenger, and Mr. Cooper and Don Clickard have put together a very important program called Lighthouse. And I've asked them to come to the city council meeting this evening and give them 10 or 15 minutes to explain what the problem is and that we've recognized it and what we're going to try to do to fix it. So I think, Mr. Cooper, did you want to make a statement first?
Hit the button on the mic.
Push. There you go. Thank you, Mayor Kelly, honorable council members. Thank you for the opportunity to share our thoughts with you on the program we're trying to get started. Mr. Clickert's not able to be here tonight. My name is Wayne Cooper, and I'm the president of the Greyhound Foundation. It was the organization that started, a foundation we started in about 1994 with the purpose of raising funds to help make the school experience better for all the students in the Tascadero Unified School District. We raise funds for that purpose, and we have several different things. We give scholarships. We have activities like the Hares and Hounds runs and the all-comers track meet in the summer. And we have the Colony Band Festival that we put on and the Hall of Fame that we do. But recently, spurred by the tragic deaths that we've had in our community in recent times as a result of overdose. We have started a program to try to address addiction problems in the school district for all the kids at all levels in our school district through awareness, prevention, and intervention. It's a fairly extensive program right now. We've only been at it for a few months, and DJ Pittenger is heading up as administrator, and we're really proud of what we've done so far, and we hope that we'll be able to keep this thing going forever and be able to raise enough money to make it work. So without further ado, I'd like DJ to come and share her insight with what we're doing with the Lighthouse Project.
Thank you. If I could just take a second, I kind of got ahead of myself. Could I have a motion to approve the agenda, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is DJ Pittenger, and I'm the Alternative Ed Administrator here for Atascadero Unified. I am proud to be a part of an organization and a program called Lighthouse. Lighthouse is a partnership between the Atascadero Greyhound Foundation, Atascadero Unified School District, and the Community Link. Less than 1 year ago, Mr. Clickard called me and said that he had some members of the community that had been directly affected and had lost children due to drug overdose. These families have decided to step up and do something about it, and they wanted to know what could be done to help prevent this from happening to other families and to other youth in our community. I first met with those people on January 18th of 2011. After talking to them more specifically about what they wanted to see and how they wanted to help, I began sharing with them stories of students who I knew of who were addicted to drugs And at one point, it came clear that there were kids within our school district who wanted to be getting support for their sobriety, but they didn't have the resources or a connection to that. So that was the birth of Lighthouse. And our goal is to overcome addiction through awareness, prevention, and intervention. Those three components of our program are alive and well within our community today. Just a quick history about the numbers that we see in our community. And I have to say that this is not specific to Atascadero. This is something that's happening within our county, within our state, and within our nation. I'm just proud of the citizens of Atascadero who are willing to stand up and hit this thing head on. In the school year of 2007 and 8, we had 30 suspensions in our school district that were drug or alcohol related. Last year we had 71. Atascadero Fire Department reports in the year of 2011, 41 responses to overdose. This year, as of the end of June, they already had 30. Since the time that I first met with this committee to begin preparing a mission and putting things into place, I have personally attended 4 funerals of young people in our community that are in their 20s who have died of overdose. And I know that there are more. I just wasn't there and close enough to those families. We have a thing called the California Healthy Kids Survey that we give to our students every 2 years in the school district. Our numbers are increasing when we look at drug and alcohol use. The last survey that was given was in the school year of 2011 and 12. We surveyed grades 7, 9, and 11. This is an anonymous survey, and this information is self-reported by the youth, and then the information is sent to the state and then returned to us with our calculations. In the year 09-10, the school year of 09-10, we had 22 11th graders from Atascadero High School that self-reported using marijuana within 30 days prior to the survey. The survey before that, we had 13% of our youth. This last year, we had 23%. Tobacco use, oddly enough, has gone down within our students. Our numbers for all of our drugs, when they break them out, tobacco, alcohol, inhalants, marijuana, are similar to those within the state and within the nation, but they are still too high. We took this information, we took what we know about the things that research shows us help students, the preventative measures that we can have within our community and within our school system, and that is how the Lighthouse program was developed. You have in front of you a packet, and in there is some information regarding each one of these programs. Under awareness and prevention, you'll see in there a copy of a thing called the Lighthouse Pledge. You'll start seeing that at school events and at community events, and we're asking adults in our community to sign a pledge that they will not allow underage drinking or illegal drug use on their property or in their presence. We have a program that we're working on called Reality Tour, and I'm working very closely with Commander Allen from the Police Department and Mike Stornetta from the Fire Department. They're going to be a huge component of this, and hopefully we're going to roll this out within the next 6 months. It is a program that will be provided within the community on an evening or a weekend where parents can bring their kids in and spend approximately 2 hours going through a reality tour of a drug addict. As each person enters the room, they will be given a profile of an addict, and they will spend the next 2 hours living life as that addict and seeing where that road leads them. There will be arrests. There will be emergency room visits. There will be visits to the morgue, and there will be funerals. As each individual leaves, they will have their picture taken, and we have software that will morph their face into what the face of a drug addict after long-term use would look like. This is not a program that would be appropriate for every youth in our community, but there are some of our youth who need to have this reality check, and there are some parents who need an avenue to talk to their youth and their families about drugs. So it is one component of this. We have a program called Theater Troupe, which, if you're familiar with the Mommy Logs or the Teen Monologues, it's very similar to that. And our youth will be writing their stories, and we will have people presenting those in the community at different events. Within our school system, within our health classes and other classes, we have two programs. One is called Project Success, and the other is called Toward No Drugs. And those are pieces of our curriculum within the school district that all of our youth are exposed to. Also under the awareness and prevention piece, we have a program called the Parent Project, and it's a parenting class that I teach on Wednesday nights. And we have parents, I've been doing it for 4 years, parents come and they learn how to deal with their at-risk, defiant youth and how to get the tools that they need in order to help turn their lives around and pull their families back together. Many of these programs are not new. They may be adjusted a little bit, or what has happened with the Greyhound Foundation and the funding from the community is that with the budget cuts that we have all suffered within the different agencies and within the school district, Lighthouse has financially been able to back some of these things and breathe new life into the programs to keep them running within our community. Under the interventions piece, I'm really excited about a counseling program that we have taken on, and it's called the Seven Challenges. We have a drug and alcohol counselor that we have contracted and trained, and she is available and offering drug and alcohol counseling within our school district. And we're also in this week negotiating with probation and going to be providing those services to the students that are in Aaron's group home here in our city. A piece of that is a program called Brief Challenges, and what that is going to take place for students within the school district who have drug or alcohol suspensions. They will have the opportunity to meet with our counselor for four different sessions and try to assess what their drug, their risk factors are and how much help they need, and then try to get them into different programs that would be available to help them as appropriate. The big counseling program that we have going on is held within the school day, and for our students that are most at risk, half of their school day is spent doing their core classes, their math, their English, social studies, and then they're being given elective credit for being part of this drug and alcohol counseling program. And the Lighthouse Foundation and the members of our community who have offered up financial support for that are the ones who are really the backers of that program. They have, in addition to the counseling, there's a fitness component. What we do know is that if you're working to be physically fit, the use of drugs and alcohol is contradictory to that. So we want to get our kids involved in fitness and athletics. We have an aggression replacement training program, which is like an anger management program that the students will be going through. In addition to that, with a partnership through the Community Link, we have mentors that we're connecting our students with so that they can get positive influences outside of relatives that they're connected to and get them out and involved in positive things within the community. And we also have scholarships that will be available to our students. We began that counseling program on October 9th, and I'm happy to say that we are more than half full at this point. We have students who are voluntarily placing themselves within that program, and I have seen a huge cultural shift on my campus regarding the use of drugs and how students are viewing those who use drugs. I have kids that are coming to me who are giving me information so that I can provide students help. I have students who are coming to me saying that they want to be mentors to kids within the program. Another great statistic that I'm happy to talk about this evening is last spring, we had the police department come in partnership with probation and the state hospital. We brought the drug dog on campus, and I had 10% of my students who were cited for having drugs in their possession on the school campus. We had them come in about 3 weeks ago, and we did not have one. So that was very exciting for us to see that. So we're seeing a huge shift. What we're seeing in the community with our young 20-something adults is also being reflected within the youth, and the hope of Lighthouse program is that we'll be able to combat some of that so that as our students are growing up, they'll find themselves in positive activities and find out for themselves through the counseling program why it is that they're turning to drug use and find positive and healthy replacements for that. And that is also another component of the Lighthouse program is, as we know, when these kids were young, they were 8 years old out running around on the soccer field. They started using drugs and all those fun and healthy activities stopped. You take the drugs away and now you need to fill that time and space up with something that's healthy and positive. So those activities are also being sponsored by Lighthouse for kids who can't afford music lessons or dance lessons or art lessons or going to a club membership for fitness. Some of those things are being provided through the Lighthouse Foundation. So I just want to publicly thank anyone who has contributed, whether it's time, money, or energy, to our project, and I'm available for any questions.
Could you tell everyone how they can contribute or donate their time, what the contact point is?
Absolutely. The P.O. Box is to the Greyhound Foundation. It's P.O. Box 3120. Atascadero 93423, and anyone who wants to contact me at my office, the phone number there is 462-4350.
Fine, thank you. I'd just like to commend you guys for being so courageous to identify the problem and trying to cure it. You're doing a great job, and I think I speak for myself and probably the city council. We're here to help you any way we can.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from the city council?
Yes. Also, I want to thank you, and you know, I've been following this, and I've also been following the fact that we're losing about one young person a month, it seems like to me, to overdose, and the word heroin wasn't mentioned, and I think it's important to let the folks out there know that we do have a heroin problem in our community. It's killing our young adults, and it's not any specific area where people are, whether they're poor or wealthy or whatever. And If we can get that across, I think it's important to let people know that it is heroin that's doing it. And I think you're doing the right thing starting at the lower end, because it's the kids that are in their 20s now that are ODing, and we're losing them. And, it was 4 or 5 days ago, we have a scanner, and they said there was a person that was unresponsive and had a needle in his arm, and he succumbed. And I know Gerald has had situations where they pulled right up in the police station, and basically the person was clinically dead, and they brought him back to life. Is that not right, Gerald?
Yeah, the paramedics, through their use of the Narcan substance that counteracts some of the effects, were able to do, I think, a tremendous work to save this young man's life. So it was really a tribute to the paramedics, their quick response and efficiency with the use of that drug.
Absolutely. That was outstanding. But we just got to get the word out there. I don't think the average person out there understands what's going on here. And you guys are trying to nip it at the bud at the high school level and the junior high level and even in the elementary level, and I think you're doing the right thing, and I hope more folks will put money into it and put effort into it, and certainly you're doing an outstanding job, Ms. Peterson. Thank you.
Thank you. Just going back to our statistics from the California Healthy Kids Survey, the survey of 09-10 school year, there were no students who reported using heroin. On the 11-12 school year, I had 16%.
Wow.
So
that's scary.
It is huge. And yeah, what we're seeing with whether it's our young people or our 20-somethings is it's a chemical thing where kids were addicted to Oxycontin and some other drugs. And because of that, the pharmaceutical companies had reconfigured how they were producing those drugs, so the kids weren't able to get high off of that anymore, and that's when the heroin came in order to get them what they were looking for.
And I did go to the meeting at the high school gym, and it was pointed out then that there's like three forms of heroin, a mild, a medium, and then a real high potency one, and when they get the high potency one, it's over for them.
Right.
So anyway, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Brian? Just a question about when there's so much need and there's so many different programs and different ways that you're going to be tackling this and going after the different problems. How is that being tracked, or do you use volunteers for, there's so many, all the different programs, the different kids, being able to make sure no one falls through the cracks, coordinating, the efforts kind of thing. How's
right.
that being handled?
In partnership with the school district, the Link, and the Greyhound Foundation, we have volunteers. Mr. Clay talked about the town hall meeting that we had at the end of June at the high school, and we had what we are estimating of over 400 people there who filled out contact cards, and we are in the process now that we're kind of up and running and got this school year going, and these programs are getting into place. We will be contacting more and more volunteers who have checked off certain areas that they're interested in helping us with. We don't have any paid staff. It's a piece of kind of what I do as a part of my job, and I am up late nights, as many of us are, just doing the extra pieces. I work very closely with the other school administrators and with our counselors throughout the district so that we're all on the same page and making sure that referrals that need to be made can be made. And then as we start unfolding these programs that we'll see out in the community, they'll be advertised, put articles in the newspaper, advertisement in the newspaper, banners up in town at the schools, and then just the town hall meeting, we had over 400 people there, and we had people in the community who were standing out in front of the grocery stores passing out flyers, and they hit a couple of the dinners at the lake and just let people know about it, and we filled the gym.
So if somebody wanted to volunteer, if they're watching or listening, how would they go about doing that?
Probably at this point, the best thing for them to do would be to call my office, 462-4350, and leave their contact information for us. And if I'm not available, we'll get back in touch with them. it's kind of a grassroots effort, so we've got a website that's almost up and running where people can put that information in, but we're not quite there yet.
Well, thank you.
You mentioned a pledge that was available for people to sign. Is that mm-hmm. something you're going to put on a website? Or
we will have it on the website, and it'll be a way for them to do that electronically.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you.
In the future, do you have plans of joining up with North County Connection, where some of the kids can get a little bit of help over there?
Yes.
Great. I think between the two of you, I think we can say Atascadero is way ahead of any other city, maybe in the nation.
We do. We have we have other cities who have contacted us to get information about what we're doing, and as part of the Seven Challenges program, which is the counseling program that we're using, we've been to trainings in Ventura, and the week before Thanksgiving, I was in Tucson for 3 days, and people are pretty impressed with our community and how we step up, and I know that Lighthouse isn't the only project that we can say that about, so I feel very fortunate to be a part of the Atascadero greater community because we do rally around and come together.
I attended the last mayor's luncheon and brought up the program, and all of the mayors that were in attendance were really, really interested in it. I only had one of your brochures that I gave to Cacho, who was really interested in it. And so I'll be attending the next mayor's luncheon, I think, in another week or so. And Mr. Clicker did give me some more of the brochures that I'll be handing out. Hopefully we can make the program grow and help everybody in the county and everywhere. So once again, I'd like to commend you guys for what you're doing. It's just really a great job.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be approved by one motion if no member of the council or public wishes to comment or ask questions. Is there any item on the consent calendar that any council member wishes to pull? Is there any item on the consent calendar that anyone from the public would like to pull? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion to approve the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
We did want to answer Mr. Paskin's questions. First, regarding their participation in a safety study of Los Altos Road, the city tracks road conditions and accident data on every road in the city. Road repair and improvement projects are prioritized then based on safety, traffic volume, and road condition. Based on Mr. Paskin's questions, staff also conducted an additional review of the accident history between Oak Ridge Estates and the State Route 41. In the last 12 years, from 2000 to October 15th of 2012, there have been 5 accidents reported within that mile stretch, but no accidents at the intersection of Highway 41 and Los Altos. Based on the accident data, staff does not think additional traffic safety studies are warranted in for that project and do not plan on participating in the safety study that Mr. Paskin is pursuing. Regarding the improvement of Highway 41 and Los Altos intersection, the intersection improvements are a condition of the Oak Ridge Estates project. There are 3 separate triggers in the PD 11 that require the improvement of the intersection at Highway 41 and Los Altos Road. Those improvements are required when the first of one of these 3 triggers occurs. The average daily trip on Los Altos Road reaches 500 vehicles per day, or the development of the 27th lot in Phase 1, or within 3 years of the issuance of a permits for Phase 1, whichever is earlier. So it was the 3-year trigger that occurred that required the improvement of the intersection, and the intersection does continue to perform at acceptable levels of service consistent with our traffic planning. Oak Ridge Estates has been put under a moratorium until the improvement of the intersection is complete. The project will not be allowed to build additional homes, so there will be no additional trips. So the current intersection continues to operate under its capacity. The developer of Oak Ridge Estates has the responsibility to design and construct the intersection improvements. And since the intersection is operating appropriately and the developer is responsible for the improvement, there's not a need for the city to undertake the improvements at this time. And we have no plan to do so, or is it in our capital improvement plan? Let me move on to a couple of, or a whole bunch, actually, of updates for you, good news items.
Hey, wait.
Do we need a consensus from the council in regards to your statements right there?
Certainly, I think that would
be the same as a motion.
Okay.
I mean, you can indicate as you have that you have heard and received what he has said, but you can't really take action on it if it's not so agendized.
Yeah. Fine, thank you. Okay. Wait.
The transit center is taking shape, as you've probably seen right outside our door. Good thing, because the parking's pretty tough on Tuesday night, and you probably have to take Route 9 to get here. Next week, the road will be closed so that we could finish the stamped concrete crosswalks that'll be across the street, and we're looking forward to the transit center being alive and well here pretty quickly. Next one is Jobella Coffee. They're going to be ready to open this Thursday. The new store will include a retail outlet, and you'll be able to view the roasting operations. It's going to smell really great, I understand, and they're really excited about the improvements that have been made out there.
Could you tell everybody where that will be located?
Well, it's in the Golden West Center at the north end of El Camino.
The big blue buildings.
The big blue buildings you can see from the freeway, yeah. And you're going to be able to smell the coffee shop, so it should be really good. Eagle Ranch, an update there. The next neighborhood meeting will be December 13th, right here at City Hall, for all the neighborhoods. And then we're going to do some breakout sessions. The notices are going out for the Eagle Ranch plan right now, and we hope that people attend that. On the Taco Bell front, they've decided to stay in their current location. They're going to do a remodel and spruce up the store, and we have a new elevation there of what they're going to do. More improvements on the Hoff property. You may have noticed this week, Mr. Weisong moved on removing the remaining buildings that were damaged in the fire. The demolition's now cleaned up, and the site's getting cleared up. We continue to work with the owners on a potential new commercial project in that location. And I also wanted to point out the Dragon Palace King Buffet. It was on the paper last week. There actually is a lot going on there. This is going to be a beautiful project, as you can see by the facade behind me. The new restaurant's going in at the old Players Building, and they're beginning work on the expansion and the facade improvements. So the permits that are issued are for the facade improvements, these great designs that that have been already approved by the DRC and we're really excited about. They have the interior improvements in, and we expect that permit to issue very soon. So we're looking forward to this this project. It is moving a little bit slower than we had always hoped, but everything moves slower than this council hopes. And so we're really on our road in collaboration with the church. The rink will accommodate 100 people at a time, and the operation will include full-service Zamboni to keep the ice in top condition with on-site food vendors. We're hoping for some great ice skating this winter at Crossroads Church. Thank you.
And I believe they're planning on staying open for several months, too.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Wade, the Crossroads Church, is that the one that's kind of on the hill when you go out Morrow Road?
You can see the tent. They have the tent. It's by the power plant, the little power substation there.
Yeah.
Did you want to comment on Carl's Jr., the old Carl's Jr. building?
I could also comment on the Carl's Jr. I didn't put in the slide. I think it's going before the DRC in 2 days. A-Town Diner, or A-Town Deli, is moving and going to be the A-Town Diner at the Carl's Jr. restaurant. So it should be real exciting. They're on the agenda Thursday for approval of that program.
Great. A lot of progress in town.
Thank you. I wanted to review a couple of the staff reports and the city manager's report. And maybe the city attorney can make sure my understanding is correct on a couple of items. But I thought we had a very good report review of how decisions are made throughout the city about roads a couple of weeks ago by our city engineer, and how basically all of our roads are prioritized based on maintenance needs with a top priority given to safety. And I appreciate the response by the city manager tonight where you responded to a citizen question. And I think what you stated was, from a legal standpoint and staff's understanding of the rules and interpreting the rules and the plan for the development, and that really is staff's conclusion. And my understanding is, since policy is in place on how road decisions are made, staff has concluded, and I think with legal input, what the position of the city is on the questions raised by a member of the public. If the council, any one member of the council, disagrees with that policy or with the conclusion, we could ask it to be placed on the agenda and considered or reviewed. But in the absence of any council member requesting that, that is the city's conclusion. Is that a correct understanding?
Well, I might rephrase it and say that this is coming in to the council as a city manager update. And I'm also going to suggest that since this was a city manager update and not a specifically agendized item, that we probably are reaching the point where we should move on to the next item.
Well, I took a shot at it.
Brian, that was very well done. Thank you. Thank you. So we're done with that. Now we go to community forum. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes.
Mayor Kelly and council staff, my name is Tom Gaddis. It's been my privilege to live here in our city since 1975. So grown up in this community, and I had a lot of time on my hands today, and I read the every Atascadero News for November, and I was stunned by how many service organizations, volunteers, civic organizations that are doing so much in this community. I just there's just something of an appreciation that came forth. People that are raising money, serving the homeless, loaves and fishes. Just, I listed them all, but I left my glasses, so I cannot read any of these. But anyway, I'd like to pray for our city. I'm proud of this city, and I'm proud of the job that you, as a council, our police, fire, our staff do for this city, like all of these organizations. And so, Father, it's my privilege tonight to just open this council meeting in prayer. As I pray always, I thank you for our council, and thank you for the great city that slowly over time, since 1975, I've seen just this slow building in progress. And even tonight, hearing the many things that are being accomplished in the city, and just so grateful for that. And the volunteers, we have some amazing people, and just the numbers of them. And this Lighthouse program, Lord, that has just been raised up, I believe, by you to just stem the tide of this chemical devil of heroin, and just to give youth a chance. And so, Lord, I just pray for your continued blessing on Atascadero, your continued blessing of wisdom to our council.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. I'm John Sorgen Fry. You met my colleague, Mark Elterman, at your last council meeting. I wanted to come by and, first of all, thank the council for awarding us the contract for tourism advertising. As you recall, my firm, TJA Advertising and Middle Marketing, are working together to grow tourism and TOT for the city. My company, just for some background, handles Pismo Beach. Have done that for a number of years. We also work with Middle Marketing on the county unincorporated seabed, so we have experience working together, as we are going to be working with you in using our talents and our assets jointly to serve our clients. I can tell you that we honestly feel that there's great potential for Atascadero to grow tourism and to grow TOT. We've had a number of interviews with different constituents and stakeholders that revolve around tourism. I want to thank the city manager for providing us with a lot of introductions and giving us a lot of information about the city. So right now we're kind of in the gathering mode of collecting information from people like yourselves, as well as the stakeholders that I mentioned. We're learning a lot, and in that gathering of information, we're going to be formulating a marketing plan, which will serve as our roadmap for the success of the program. And I just want to tell you that we're really excited, and I want to thank you. and we look forward to some really great things happening for the city of Atascadero as it revolves around tourism and growth of TOT, which, as you all well know, provides money to the general fund that provides services for the citizens of Atascadero. I'm going to introduce my colleague, and he is going to talk to you a little bit, Paul Sloan. He's your account executive on this account. He's going to give you some further updates.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you this evening. My name is Paul Sloan with Mental Marketing, part of the core marketing team in partnership with TJA Advertising. Just to give you an update on some of the steps where we are in progress, as John said, we are in the very important listening phase right now, which is where we are gathering information. And this is very vital because we're going through the interview process. I had the opportunity to speak with Councilman Clay yesterday, who is obviously a wealth of experience and insight with the city. And a big part of what this entails is the looking in the mirror for both the good, bad, and the ugly. And that's very important because we have to realize what our strengths are, our weaknesses, but also our opportunities. And we're getting a lot of great insight. We'll be going speaking with the rest of the council members as well, that we have various organizations working with the city, Mr. McKinney and his team, with the Tourism Business Improvement District, as well as at the county level with the San Luis Obispo County VCB, at the regional level with the Central Coast Tourism Council, and at the state level with Visit California. So we're working to have the access for Atascadero to be involved with all these various resources that we can leverage to position the community and the destination. And then we will be meeting with Mr. McKinney and his team for a marketing planning session, brainstorming session in mid-December. So a bit of an update for where we are right now, and we look forward to keeping you all posted as we go forward. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Are there any other speakers? Seeing none, I'll close.
Sorry, it was a short list this time. Karen Sturdivant, Vice President of the Main Street Association. I'd like to remind everybody that this Friday after the tree lighting ceremony is our art and wine tour. The downtown will be open. You can buy a bracelet for $10, or you can buy one with a glass wine glass for $15. And we will be having 17 businesses open, with wineries. And we look forward to seeing you. And then the next Friday is Winter Wonderland, and there will be, at last check, 3 snow slides plus snow areas. We'd like to thank the Kiwanians and other service groups that are assisting Main Street with this, and we hope to see everybody there.
Fine, thank you. Seeing no other speakers, we'll close the community forum and bring it back to the council. Next on the agenda is the public hearings, and this will be for the North County Connection in lieu Affordable Housing Fund allocation. Warren, is that going to be you?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, members of the council. We have a good news item for you tonight. This is a project we've been working on for a couple years now. This is funding an affordable housing unit at North County Connection, which will allow or assist in their purchase of their property on Atascadero Avenue. So what we're recommending tonight to the council is that you authorize the funding of a loan for up to $100,000. The money would come from the city's In Lieu Affordable Housing Fund, and that would provide for one low-income affordable unit at 8600 Atascadero Avenue. A little bit of background on this item. The council has been looking into the possibility of some sort of cooperative funding arrangement with North County Connection for a number of years. Most recently, we brought this, which are contained in your staff report. There was a lot of work that had to be done over the last 6 months to bring this deal together. There were some issues with the property appraisal, just because this is a fairly unique property in that it's in a residential area, but it's more of a social service type building. They had some trouble getting an appraisal, but they were finally able to get an appraisal for $390,000, which the current owner was in agreement to sell the property for that amount. Originally, the plan had been to use some CDBG funding from the county to assist in this purchase, but that fell through. There were some confidentiality issues with the clientele that just couldn't be overcome. So the county funding wasn't a possibility, so we had to come up with a new source of funding. So luckily, the local Rabobank branch was able to help out. So they've now approved North County Connection for a $280,000 conventional loan to assist with the purchase of the property. The monthly payments to Rabobank will be the same as what their rents have been for the last 10 years, so we have confidence that they'll be able to make those payments. So the way the purchase will be structured is the purchase price is $390,000. Rabobank will provide a loan of $280,000. The city's in-lieu funds will provide $100,000. And then North County Connection also currently has $10,000. So those funds together would provide the $390,000 needed to purchase the property. As I mentioned, this money is coming from the city's Affordable Housing in Lieu Fund. These are monies that are collected as part of building permits for projects that don't provide affordable housing units within the project. So this money needs to be used to create new housing units. So we will be purchasing a covenant or a deed restriction for one low-income unit. The maximum rent will be $905. This will be a deed-restricted unit for 55 years. We aren't requiring any payments during the term of the loan. There is an equity sharing program, so if the value of the property does increase at the end of the 55 years, there'll be a percentage of that increase that will come back to the city. There is an existing suite within the building that historically was used as a residential apartment. So the proposal is to convert that back into a residential apartment. It should be a fairly easy project to apply construction management class to do that work. So they're confident that within the next 12 months, which is the agreement that we have with them, that all these improvements will be done and that the low-income unit will be available for rent by then. In terms of the way the loan and the deed restrictions are structured, Rabobank will be in first position on the loan. The city's $100,000 loan and our affordable deed restriction will be in second position. That was the only way that Rabobank would finance. The concern is, or the possible risk is, that if there was a foreclosure, the city being in a second position could be wiped out on it. We do, though, have negotiated a first right of refusal. So if for whatever reason there is a potential for foreclosure, the city could at least exercise that right to protect their position. So that would be our fallback. We don't think that's a likelihood, but it's always good to plan for any possible contingency. The final draft documents, we've provided the documents in your staff report. There will be a couple final adjustments, obviously, as we go through the final closing on the property. So we just want to make sure you're aware that there'll be some slight adjustments. But the way the project is conditioned, we believe the city manager would have final authority, if you give it to him, to sign the documents in their final form. In terms of fiscal impact, all this money is coming from your Affordable Housing in Lieu Fund, so there's no impact on your general fund. So the purpose of this money that we've collected over the years is for affordable housing, and that's the purpose it's being put to. So in conclusion, if the council is satisfied, we are recommending that you allocate the $100,000 to go into the escrow account, and these funds would be available the first week of December to complete the purchase by North County Connection. That concludes staff's report. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Warren. Very, very good report. Before we have any questions, I think we ought to go down the road and ex parte, because I think most of us have probably been involved in this over the years. Jerry?
Well, actually, I know Sue real well, but I really haven't been involved in this okay. part of it.
Okay. Roberta?
I also know her, but have not been involved with this.
Okay. Well, I know Sue. North County Connections is my neighbor. They're very, very good neighbors. And over the last 3 or 4 years, I have kind of been a little bit involved with, along with Jim Patterson and Tony Navarro down at the county, trying to put some type of deal together.
Look for opportunities to help. This was a good opportunity that worked out well, and you have the council's support, I believe.
Well, I've had the opportunity to attend an open house at the facility, and it's an outstanding facility, but in this realm, I have no ex parte for this.
Right, thank you. We have any questions then?
Oh, just one. How much money do we have left in our housing fund? Approximately.
I think there's probably in the neighborhood of $300,000 to $400,000 that's still in there.
Thank you.
I have a question whether we'll receive credit for that unit. I know that we have to provide a certain number of these types of units.
Yes, we will report that to the state of California as part of our affordable housing allocation requirements.
Very good. And I was wondering why this is being designated as a low income rather than a very low.
I think we agreed with the North County Connection that that would be the appropriate target in terms of rental rates and what they were expecting in terms of return on rent.
Okay, thank you.
Tom, do you have any question? Brian.
Oh, just a point of clarification, Warren. On the you talked about the Rabobank loan and about them making the payments last 10 years the same amount as their rent, and now they're going to have this unit that rent is going to be paid to them from. That is correct? The low-income unit rent will go to North County Connection, correct?
That's correct. So there's a limit on how much they can rent it for, but whatever they rent it for can come back as some sort of income stream for North County Connection's operation.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll open it up to the public. Sue, did you want to make a statement or have any questions or the answers?
Thanks. Susan Warren, North County Connection. Just Mayor Kelly and council members and staff, this has been, I can't tell you. It's been a long time coming. And as Tom mentioned, you know, and I know you haven't voted on this, but just the fact that we've gotten this far has just been amazing. And to see what's happened, to have DJ Pettinger here tonight and everything that's going on, just to see the change in tide in how people are realizing this is part of our community, and it's something that we have to address, and it is a community problem, and we have to address it together. And I think that we've got a really good plan. We've got wonderful people here on staff and council and the whole community where we can help to resolve like that's to happen with a 501c3. The state attorney general's office makes sure that the things are, that the assets, monetary and financial assets are distributed the way they need to be distributed and that everybody's taken care of. So I think there's really a level, an extra level here that people may not be aware of to make sure that things are taken care of, because we're a public benefit. As a 501c3, we are a public benefit corporation. And so it is set up to make sure that the public does get what their money has gone to pay for.
Thank you. Jerry, do you have a question?
I'm familiar with the building. The little apartment, is that being used for storage now? Or?
Mrs. Watson had used it up until 2 years ago for her learning center.
I see.
For her counseling. And we've been, a part of it's been used for storage, and we've got a table in there that we use it for our monthly board meetings and any committee meetings we have.
And Sue, I'd just like to thank you. You know, I know how hard you work over the years, and it's a labor of love for you, I'm sure. But we appreciate what you're doing. It's very necessary. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions or anything? Any other public comment?
Good evening. Thanks for letting me share. My name is Molly Kearns, and I am a new social worker in the area. I just moved here about a month ago. I moved from Oregon, and before that lived in Florida. And I had the opportunity to meet Sue and North County Connections, and was so impressed and just inspired by her enthusiasm, by her commitment to recovery. I've worked in many different facets dealing with fetal alcohol syndrome, dealing with just the devastation of this disease of addiction, how it can impact our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our society, and that I've also seen the beauty and the just courage of recovery happening over and over again when there is good, comprehensive, and caring support and dedication of people like Sue and the members of the board that I was able to meet with North County. I'm really excited to be here and to show my support and to be part of a community that is really...
Make a motion.
I would be honored. I move we adopt staff's recommendation.
Fine. I'll make a second on that. Roll call vote, please.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Great, thank you. This has been long coming, Sue. Enjoy it. We will, too. Next on the agenda is the 2013 Community Development Block Grants Draft Recommendations. And Russ, I yep. see your name there.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Yes, tonight is our annual opportunity to develop and adopt funding recommendations for CDBG for this year. A little bit of background. I mean, we do this every year. This CDBG funds are funded by the Department of Housing and Urban Development and must meet one of these three criteria. The projects or the grant recipients must benefit low to moderate income persons, aid in the prevention or elimination of blight in the community, and address urgent needs that pose a serious and immediate threat to the health and welfare of the community. This year, the allocation is estimated at $130,000. There is some carryover funds from last year that were not utilized in the amount of roughly $24,000. The final amount will be set early next year by the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And final awards are typically adjusted proportionally once those final numbers are known. So in the past 2 years, this is a listing of the public service category, which usually most of the discussion revolves around, which of these applicants receives grant funds. In the past 2 years, these are the groups that the council has selected to receive funding. The Community Service Foundation is one we're well aware of that provides youth scholarship programs, ECHO, Loaves and Fishes, and in the past, North County Adaptive Sports and Recreation has received funds even though they did not apply this year. So this is just kind of an indication of where we've been over the last couple years to make your recommendations as to who would receive funding, and we can go through that after some discussion and public input. And with that, that's back to you for discussion.
Do we want to go through that first before public comment, or what do you think would be?
Probably take public comment.
Okay. At this point, do you have any questions of anybody from the council first? Okay.
Well,
not.
No questions, just a statement. You know, I like to see our money go in Atascadero.
Right. I'll open it up for public comment. Is there anyone in the public that would like to make a comment? Mrs. Warren?
I just had one comment on the Big Brothers Big Sisters. Is that going to be for local or North County youth, or is it just kind of all get put in the pot?
I believe that's North County.
Fine. Thank you. Seeing no other comments, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the City Council for questions or comments.
You may want to just go down and everyone give input there. I don't know either.
How did we do this last year? I think, didn't we kind of go down and do a priority deal with our best priorities?
We could
do
that.
Are you guys prepared to put something up on the screen like that, Jim?
Yes.
Okay, Jerry, what would be your top three, I guess? Would we want to do it that way?
Yeah, well, I'd like to see, I'll just give you my whole thing here. Okay. I'd like to see the youth activity scholarships, given the full $8,000. And the reason I'm saying this is Lighthouse is would be able to use that money too. And it doesn't go just for programs that the city runs. It goes for any program, and they're going to need those funds. And I think that it's important that we fund that totally with the $8,000. As far as Loaves and Fishes, can't say so much about them. They're great. I'd go the full $15,000, and the El Camino organization, I'd go the full $32,000, and that would leave $72,000 for the City of Atascadero barriers and handicap removal. And we don't want to get in our situation like Paso Robles did. We want to get this cleared up. So that would be my recommendation.
Councilmember Clay, we were trying to jot that down. Could you go through those numbers real quickly for us?
Okay, 72 for the barrier removal, 8,000 for the youth. What was that figure again?
19, if you look in the in the highlighted, it's $19,500 that you could allocate in the public services section. This is always the most difficult of the of the sections.
Oh boy! Well, that's ridiculous, really. Be truthful with you, but
I have a suggestion, Jerry.
Well, why don't you go ahead with your stuff, and I'll listen.
I think we're going down the line, but I've dealt with that one. I'll respond
okay.
when we get there.
Yeah,
I think excuse me, but in public services, I think we are allocated $19,500 out of all those people. Is that correct?
That's right. Okay. It's limited to 15% of the total
fund. Under the grant rules, yeah.
Right.
Mary, should I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, very good.
Hello.
All right.
We're still looking to you.
Going from top to bottom, I think we have $109,000 total that can go to two different organizations, the burial removal and the North County Women's Shelter. I would say that the full 100 would go towards the burial removal, with the remainder of $9,488 go towards the North County Women's Shelter. The priorities for the remaining $19,500, I would like to have it go to the Atascadero Community Services Foundation, and I agree with you, Jerry, that it could be used for Lighthouse as well, and Atascadero Loaves and Fishes, and to be split equally between the two to total $19,500.
Okay, how much for the youth activity scholarships? Did you say, Roberta?
Well, the grand total is $23,000, so we'd have to reduce both just a bit to reach the 19.5.
Right.
And reduce them equally.
Okay, my choices would be the Atascadero Community Service Foundation, $4,000.
Okay, hold on a second.
Atascadero Loaves and Fishes, $5,000. El Camino Homeless, $5,000. And the Senior Nutrition Program, $5,000. My priorities are to feed people. Whatever works out on the other stuff, which is fine with me.
I don't think there's any guarantee on the seniors that it comes to Atascadero. That's,
Well, would that go to our senior?
We don't know. County-wise.
Oh, is that county? I think it's county-wide, yes.
Okay.
Would you just...
Well, you can take that $5,000 and distribute it evenly through the other three I have.
So that would be...
Okay. What is that? Well, find other funding out of other sources, I believe to the tune of $300,000, and I think that's a priority. We certainly want to do that, and it is one of those tough areas. Another thing that I am doing, like I think others have, I haven't always been as supportive of the Community Services Foundation. I think it needs to get more than they've requested. When I had the same thing in mind, this is an opportunity to go towards all the things we've been talking about tonight. So I'm going to suggest we even put more into that. So are you ready for numbers down there yet?
Yeah, we'll work these details out.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'm assuming starting at the bottom and working up, we don't have a choice on $26,000 for administrative overhead, because even our city attorney is afraid of Rochelle. So we'll, and I think with all of these other very worthy projects, I just focused on the top two. Again, I think Loaves and Fishes puts money directly into to food in our community, and I think the Community Services Foundation, I would agree with Councilwoman Fonzie, I would split whatever money is available between those two. I believe it's $19,500 just split between those two. I, again, would like to maximize the contribution to barrier removal. What I especially like about that is there's a real need for ADA accessibility, but that also works good for all in our community. I see a lot of young moms with baby strollers. I see a lot of us. Some of us are getting a little older. And when you
speak for yourself, Tom.
When you pour concrete in that's ADA accessible, it's going to last a lot of years. So we're getting a real investment in our community. So I like to see maximizing that. So $109,000. Did you? And then if there was funds left on top of that, I would put some towards the North County Women's Shelter, but I think I spent it all already. Are you there?
Yeah, we'll fine-tune these numbers.
Okay.
Could I go again? Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. You're up. No, you're up. I got a simple solution here. And I'm only interested in public service myself, but $7,000 to the Youth Activity Scholars, $6,000 to Loaves and Fishes, and $6,000 to the homeless El Camino.
Perry, yeah. So I'm going to adjust my numbers a little bit. I was a little higher on Loaves and Fishes, yeah. And I think I'm going to go with what Jared just said because I like that. My heart was in. This is very tough times, and we're in this for the long haul. When it comes to homeless, food, our kids, everything we're up against, we're in it for the long haul. So that's where my heart is the community services, Loaves and Fishes, and the homeless. So I like what Jerry had to share. I'll go with that, and I will also go with the $26,000 for the city. And I'm going to differ, though, on the public facilities because North County Women's Shelter, when it comes to taking care of the issues for women and when it comes to the fact of the heating and those kind of things, that's quite a costly endeavor. They're spending a lot of money to be able to run what they have. So I would like to give them the full $22,700, leaving $86,788 for the city barrier removal.
Is that facility in Atascadero or Paso Robles?
It's in Atascadero.
Oh, there is
one? So one up on the hill? Yeah. So getting back to public services, I'll go over it again, $7,000 for the Youth Activity Scholars, $6,500 for Loaves and Fishes, and $6,000 for El Camino Homeless Organization.
We got it.
Right. Everybody's okay with that.
No, how about public facilities, Councilman Clay?
I'm going to go with the flow here because, I was okay with $100,000, but Brian makes a good point, too. So let's see what we have.
I'd like some more discussion on this.
Sure.
Okay. I don't think we're quite unanimous.
Yeah.
The city has given quite a bit of money to ECHO, and El Camino Homeless Shelter is obviously near and dear to our heart. My concern is this is for a full-time case manager position. If this were for something concrete rather than a position, I would feel much more comfortable that you're going to need to have ongoing funds for a position. I am not sure in my mind that this is warranted at this time. I think there are more serious needs than hiring someone to do that job. So I'd like to propose that we take that money out of the ECHO fund and put it back into the top two.
Well, it also said here that it's for other. It mentioned about the case manager, but it also mentioned the fact that it's going to be for other. Additional homeless shelter services, not just for the case manager. Yeah. There's other things as well.
Yeah.
Can we direct it?
They're the greatest.
Can we direct that where that money is used?
No.
No.
Let's not do that.
Let's not.
They're sitting out there, but they haven't put their permanent facility plans together yet.
That's for purchase. Kind of like you, I want to make sure that the money is going to the victim, I guess you could say.
Last year we gave $6,700 to ECHO. Year before that, $12,500.
Do you have their application in front of you, what they actually put on the application?
I do not.
Brian does.
I do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, read it, Brian.
Well, I probably have it here.
Thank you.
You never know. Yeah, I think that's the monkey on their back if they want to hire somebody.
I just don't think we ought to stiff them. They're too good organization folks.
Well, the thing is, we're not going to give them $32,000. They can't do a case manager, right, so that money's going to have to go for right. operations because you're not going to get the position. Yeah. So.
I think they've already hired a manager. They do have a manager that they hired. So it's the same position, or they're looking for something new.
Well, I think they do have pretty good contributions for ongoing support, right. and they've been focusing on capital development, and I think that was a real commitment we made was $300,000. Which was stretching it for us, but we want to support that permanent facility. And I guess I look at two categories. I want to put as much as we can in the permanent facilities. That's the toughest thing for organizations to get money for. It's a little easier to raise money for ongoing expenses. And I like the idea, as Councilwoman Fonzie said, this could well be one-time money we're giving away. We never know year to year. I think it's good to see those funds go into something more as a fixed asset. The exception to that is I'm always going to support feeding people, and I think we've tried to direct money to that as well.
Well, they feed people every darn day.
Yes, they do, and they're not asking
they feed
for money
up to 50 people a day, 55 people,
yes.
house
yeah.
36, at a cost of $5.14 per person the last time I heard. But let me read the last paragraph of their application according to the staff report. It says that these funds will allow the enhanced case management services and additional homeless shelter services. And I think, you know, I would feel comfortable that they would spend the money correctly.
Absolutely.
I mean, their goal is to take care of the people.
Absolutely.
And they've done an exceptional job with basically very little.
What we don't have for folks at ECHO or even out in our community is those alternative normal experiences for folks that don't have any money. So that's why I would like to support that more this year.
Well, the other thing is, you know, as you know, I sit on these homeless committees and everything else. And all of these committees are saying we need exactly what Mrs. Warren does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need the homeless facilities and everybody else talks about it. Mm-hmm. And we are so far ahead of everybody else. And I know that ECHO is in the process of trying to acquire their current facility and possibly the one next door. And, you know, as they get bigger, they're going to need a little more help. Yeah. And I think if we're in a position where we can help them out a little bit and kind of kickstart them and help them out, I would feel very comfortable in doing it.
Yeah. But now we're talking all over the place, guys. We're talking all over the place.
Well, let's see what the average is, because I'm just curious as how it averages out with all of us. We may be not too far off.
We're all together, and then all of a sudden we're apart. Yeah.
What do the numbers show there for that category?
Which ones do you want to average?
Just
for ECHO?
See how we average out for the public service category. I don't think we're that far off. I'd go with how it averages out for all five of us.
Well, we were. Would it make you happy if we took $1,000 away from the homeless organization and give it to the youth activities? That would give them their full $8,000. Would that make you all happy? Don't sound like it.
Yeah, if we had at least $8,000 for the community services, I think that would be minimum.
Well, then let's just take $1,000 away. That would be $5,000 for the homeless organization, $6,500 for Loaves and Fishes, and $8,000 for the youth activity scholars.
So all the funding is going to go in those three categories. I support that.
Yeah. Okay. Is that okay, guys?
I'd like to give just a little more to Loaves and Fishes. People who are homeless aren't the only ones who use that. There are people that are low income or are struggling from paycheck to paycheck. So I think that there's a smaller proportion of the population that use ECHO than actually use Loaves and Fishes. So I'd like to beef
from there, because I think we're going to be pretty darn close. Yeah, we're going to be pretty darn close, I think, once we come through this.
Yeah, so the average for those three that we came up with that would balance the budget
would be these numbers right here.
And what are they?
For Tascadero Community Services Foundation, that's $8,300. Loaves and Fishes, 7,800, and Echo, 3,400.
That averages out. I'd be okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about Echo. I mean, they're great.
Well, they're giving the first category more than they asked for. We could throw the 300.
Why don't we put the 300
in? Okay, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. we're gonna pull the 300 back to Echo. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. We all agree.
Yes. Yep.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Jerry, you were the one holding us back.
No, never.
Okay. So we still need to resolve public facilities.
Right.
Then.
Right. Well, Brian had a good suggestion. I'll go along with that.
Well, I have some more discussion. I'm sorry to be a thorn in the flesh. I'm not an expert on heating systems, but $22,000 sounds like a gold-plated system to me. That I'd like to see that come down a little. I don't know whether it is.
Heating and cooling is not inexpensive, especially for a facility the size that they have. It's not. It's commercial, and it's costly.
We have an expert in the audience.
Yeah, Don, give us a bid.
Are we reasonable?
Okay.
My concern, of course, Warren, you want to give us a quick lesson? Is a Title 22 or whatever
24.
It is? 24. Shoot, just if you just add the title, it adds $5,000 to the cost, doesn't it?
Don't forget permits.
Well, I'd have to say, I of course, am a strong advocate for the barrier removal.
Yes.
But I do feel if the funds are going to a house in Atascadero for the Women's Resource Center, I certainly would support a little more for that.
But are we 100% sure of that? Because they do have a place in Paso.
The application says the Atascadero facility.
All right.
But I don't know that we need to pay for all of it. I would consider maybe $90,000, $10,000.
Don't we have 109?
We have more than that.
Oh, we do? Well, yep. Then.
Sorry. Okay. Got $109,488.
How about if we give them half of what they're asking for, $11,350, and the rest goes to barrier removal?
And $11,350.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. Okay?
Everybody all happy? Right.
I'm good with that.
Are we done with that?
We're done.
I think that's it.
Fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Can I make a recommendation? When you guys are designing the new city chambers over there in the new city hall, where we could have accommodations where we could actually read it. Yeah. I think since most of us are going to be here for a few more years, and it's not going to be getting any better.
It's a little blurry. In the new city hall, you'll have a monitor at your desk so you could actually read it.
Right.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Close the captioning. Okay, fine. I think we're finished with the public hearings.
Do we need a motion on that, or that's finished?
Do we need a motion?
Need a motion.
Can I have a motion to approve the numbers that we've agreed
to? So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Now we have management reports. Are there any management reports tonight?
No.
Right answer.
Over on the other side, Gerald, do you have anything? Or fine. No management reports. Council announcements or reports? Jim or Wade, would you like to make the announcements of the upcoming events we have, the times for the lighting of the Christmas trees and the walk around the lake and what we have?
The lighting program, Rain or Shine, is Friday at 5:30. And the walk around the lake is also at 5:30.
And what's the date?
On Saturday. This Friday, this Friday, and Saturday, this Saturday. I think it's the 30th and the 1st.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I guessed right. 30th and the 1st.
Fine, thank you. Yes.
I would like to make sure that the public is aware that there is a study session for the Climate Action Plan. That's this coming Thursday. It's in Templeton at the elementary school closest to downtown. And I would also like to just give a little vote of appreciation towards Callie Taylor. I'm sorry that she left.
Yes.
But she has worked really hard on this climate action plan to pull this together and to make sure that Atascadero is represented properly. I think we still have a little bit of a battle here to fight Thursday and beyond, but Callie really has put a lot of herself into this.
Good point.
Will there be any information that we take there, or we just go there to listen, or what are we going to do?
And it just shows the connection that our community has to come together to do good things. But if you could send our thank you along, I would appreciate it.
Thank you. I would agree with that 100%.
Right. Any other deal? Okay, now we have committee reports. I have nothing to report.
No report?
Jerry?
Oh. Well, the restaurant committee, is that what you're asking about?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking, we're almost the sushi capital of the world. I mean, you got one on the north side, you got one in the center of the city, and you got one on the south side. And I understand they're all good, is what I hear.
They are.
And I'm glad to hear the report that Wade gave on the restaurants that are coming in and the coffee place. And, man, you don't have to go out of town if you want something to eat. It's here, and it's good. And if you're out of town, come on back and eat here. Thank you.
Thank you. Robert, do you have anything?
Yes, the Air Pollution Control District met recently, and one of the topics for discussion was about the particulate matter, the dust that is blowing from the Oceano Dunes up onto the Napomo Mesa. Apparently, there's a controversy brewing with state parks who is doing the implementation to stop the dust, and they're dragging their feet. So this will come up again and again. I just wanted the council to be aware that the issue has not been resolved. There will be more discussion on that. And also that the Design Review Committee meeting discussed Eagle Ranch at its last session, and it will be coming up again. Thank you.
Tom, do you have anything?
Brian? No.
None.
No report.
Now we go to individual determination and or action. Anything from this side? Annette, you've been very quiet. Do you have anything? Thank you. And with that, I'll adjourn the city council meeting for tonight. Thank you, everybody.